So, like Celia said, we are in Romans 16 today, and thanks for reading all those ridiculous names. I felt kind of bad giving that to her. That's all right. So, yeah, like Celia said, this is the end of Romans, so this is obviously a very thick letter. There's a lot going on. As we know, once this letter was composed and sent out, there's a lot about our salvation and a really important message that goes in into this book. And at the end, he wants to talk a little bit of business. He wants to do some greetings and some updates, kind of, like Celia said. And it's a little bit of Paul's Hall of Fame for Roman workers. That's how I kind of like to think about it. The people who are doing the dirty work. It's been interesting. I went to Rome over summer, and so in reading this, it was really interesting to like picture these people walking down the street and what life was like for them, at least a little bit. And my favorite thing of all, of course, from this passage is that there are at least, as far as we know, at least 10 names in this Hall of Fame list are women, which is very special to me. I am a woman, so. So I love this passage. I think these names are blaring out to me and comforting all at the same time. These women are my coat of arms. These women are the witnesses who have gone before me and done the good work. They are my protection and my anchor when 1 Peter 3 and 1 Timothy 2 are being maybe used against me, which happens often. It actually happened last night with my family as I told them that I would be speaking today. So, good timing. It feels a lot like my interaction with the church growing up has been a mixture of shame and calling. I think those were the words that came out to me while I was thinking through this week, which is a pretty frustrating paradox at times. Think of a time for you when you were told just no to something, to really anything, a starting position you wanted, a promotion, a place you just wanted to go. And then imagine it's a no because of the unchangeable qualities of who you are. For me, that would be because I'm a girl. And then picture them following up with saying, it's just because that's what the Bible says. And we want to be faithful to what the scriptures say. This, sometimes we have to follow scripture even when it's hard, Ian. When scripture is used against you, there's a lot of shame involved sometimes. The things that bring you life and purpose, scripture that speaks life, creates beautiful things, and transforms people's lives, is now working against you, being used against you. That what you're feeling, the call that you're hearing is misguided and wrong, and that you are being divisive or power hungry. There's a lot of shame that follows being told those things. I thrived at church. I loved church. My father was a deacon. My mother was Sunday school superintendent. I loved church. I was very good at it. I loved learning, and I was good at learning those things. Eventually, I went to college, and I did above average, so I really liked it. I learned so much, and those things just made sense to me. I came alive when I was at church, when I was learning with people at different ages than me, and then I was, you know, reflecting whatever that was to the people below me or with me. I loved being there. It was a beautiful, safe place, at least for me. But unfortunately, the end goal, and I was told at several times, the end goal for me was to be a really, really smart and well-trained pastor's wife. And that was the goal. But these women here in Romans 16, who the Spirit had moved and worked through, they were waiting for me. Stories of women like this helped me push past the shame that I was feeling towards the gifts and the call that I was hearing. Because when you see someone doing something for the first time and breaking that paradigm a little bit, it shapes you and it changes you. I remember the first time I received communion from a woman. It was in while I was in Guatemala during grad school, and it was deeply transforming to my life to be given by someone who looked like me, the bread and the wine. Deeply transforming. Ah, God was in that moment. I've been told these women were exceptions, one-time onlys in a drastic situation, these women in Romans 16. I read an article even this week that Junia, who's referred to here, you'll see, as prominent among the apostles, wasn't really an apostle. What they're talking about is Andronicus, her husband, who is named right before her. He was the apostle, and she was, you know, assisting him. So that's just kind of how the label went, which is very frustrating as well. Because even sometimes when we do the work, when we are in the will of God, when we are following the obvious call, there is uncertainty about whether it counts, whether what God is telling us is real, and that is frustrating. Junia actually has a very interesting story. Depending on the translation that you have, it may be Junius. I believe that's what Celia had as well. In the 1800s, Junia's name was changed to Junius, which is a male form of that name. But ironically, there was not the name Junius back in those times. Her name was changed because of the discomfort that people had with the word apostle that followed that. So very interesting. No, these women are not exceptions, because we know that there are Marys and Junias and Priscillas with us even now. And we see them and we get to be blessed by them. They are witnesses to what happens when the fullness of the gospel is fleshed out, when in the midst of majority, Christ once again flips the script on us and goes where you least expect it. Because that is where the whole gospel is full and alive, the good, good news. The good news that Paul mentions even in Galatians 3, as many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ, there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs, according to the promise. In the fullness of this good news, when women's voices are heard, when we create space for this to happen, we see a lot of things. We see in verse 1, Phoebe, the benefactor, who used whatever she could to equip others and create space in her home for teaching and discipleship as a deacon. Paul here is saying, as Celia read, that, you know, they know who she is, obviously, as he's introducing and kind of telling them about her. He's telling them to welcome her, to sustain her, and to learn from her as she comes. When women's voices are heard, space is created for other people to be heard. When women's voices are heard, others are protected and shielded. Verse 3 talks about Prissa or Priscilla, depending on your translation, who her and her husband risked their necks for my life. I love that. That's my NRSV, but I really like who risked their necks for my life. I like that. There's a reason that feminine descriptions of God are used a lot of times when talking about God as a protector, as a shield, as a covering. As I was studying a little bit this week, Deuteronomy 32 reached out a little bit to me as the writer uses feminine language to describe God as a sustainer and a shielder in a desert-like place, and like an eagle who hovers over its young. I like that a lot. When women's voices are heard, the quiet, sturdy workers are recognized and celebrated. Throughout this entire passage, there are many women and men described as straight-up hard workers who are doing the nitty-gritty for the kingdom of God. Things get done because leadership comes in a lot of diverse ways. When women's voices are heard, others are nurtured and needs are met. Women name the ragtags in the group and meet even the most basic needs. In verse 13, you'll see they talk about Rufus's mother, who is not named, but through him, a mother to me also. It is beautiful and simple. I think it's like the most human I see Paul usually ever, just saying, she was a mother when I needed a mother. She met my basic needs and she was there for me. I really like that. When women's voices are heard, the gospel is shared even in the bleakest of situations. In verse 15, there is someone referred to, Julia. She's kind of in a conglomeration of a lot of names. Julia, as I was studying this week, is a common slave name. So it was a very common name just for the owner to give to a slave because it was kind of like John Smith. Usually wasn't their original name. But so 9 times out of 10, this woman, they believe, was a slave at that time. Because if there's anything you can say about women, put us in a situation where all the odds are against us and we're going to make something happen out of it. Even in slavery, there were women working for the good of the kingdom of God, even in a big group of other people's names. She stands out to me. When women's voices are heard, your God will begin to look different. Your God will begin to feel different. Your God will begin to show up at different times and speak and move in different ways, in feminine ways, in ways that attract outsiders, in ways that force you to be quiet and to listen. It is scary and humbling in the work of the good news. So my call to action is 2 points. Number one, find women's voices, or maybe women, find your voices, and then believe them. Believe their work, their studies, their critiques, their experiences with God. Listen, believe them, and then follow them. 2, get out of the way. Not just for this week's theme, but this is something I've been thinking of as we've gone through a lot of different people groups, a lot of different issues. Get out of the way. God is working. For you are not just blocking a sister when you talk over her, when you distrust what she's learning from God, or when you assume she won't want the stress of leading. You are blocking the work of the Holy Spirit, who began a good work in these Romans 16 women and is continuing through us. And for us women, we know the Holy Spirit is calling us. We feel the nudges. We see the work. But in these moments, we do have to remember that those nudges are not for other people. We have been offered the lie continually that to come into our own as women, those true moments when we really like own that, we are giving ourselves up for someone else. And that is when we really come into our own. And sometimes that's true, but not usually. The calling, the nudge that you are feeling may not be for your husband, it may not be for your kids, for your neighbor. It is for you to act on. Anything else is a denial of what God is doing in you and what God wants to do through you. These Romans 16 women prove that our God lives and moves in mysterious and unpredictable ways. Lord, soften our hearts, open our minds, swing wide our arms, and direct our feet, so that we may follow you unto the ends of our own paradigms and comfort zones, into the spaces you are already moving and working, even unto the ends of the world. Amen.